Hello, good day, and welcome to the Point 99 podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Steve, and this is our penultimate episode of Season 5, episode number 9. I'm really looking forward to sharing this week's guest interview with you all. First, we have a few staples to get to, including the intro, so let's crack on with those. Since we're picking up new listeners weekly just now, including those who might not already know what we're all about, well, the Point 99 podcast is a running podcast for all runners of all abilities, but especially the everyday runners out there like you and I. The purpose of the 99 is to try and help you along whatever path your journey is taking. That might be through relatable guests that we feature weekly with their unique and awesome stories, shared experiences and lessons that we all inevitably learn during our own journeys. Hopefully by sharing these lessons, you might be able to avoid making the same mistakes yourself. The 99's biggest goal is and has always been to demonstrate that we are all more alike than we sometimes think, and that through shared conversation, we can all improve as runners and hopefully as more rounded individuals in our everyday lives. Before we introduce this week's guest though, let's look at my week in running alongside some of the massive wins from some familiar faces to the show and in the wider running community. In my own running world, after another zero mileage week last week, I managed to grab a few annual leave days. So I did just that. I grabbed them with both hands and I ran with them. I had plans to be in Glasgow for a gig with my better half, so a spot of community running was quickly on the cards. I had planned for two runs, one on Monday evening and the other on Tuesday morning, but sadly, I couldn't see the Monday evening run through purely down to how fatigued I was feeling from work, as well as having the drive south to contend with and then having some dinner reservations as well. So it was all down to an early morning start on Tuesday. I wasn't entirely sure anyone would make it out, being a weekday run and all, but to my surprise, I had some fantastic company and a good dose of distance bagged. Stuart runs a lot, that he does. 100 kg to 100 km's Stevie McKenna, positive lassie Cadden, and fellow short shorts fan Nick McGowan Lowe were all quick to offer me company during a planned 10k run. After a little variation from discussion with the guys to the initial draft route, it was quickly a tasty 13 kilometer of Clydeside cruising that was on the cards. I can't articulate how great it was to have such fantastic company to chat away to though, passing the miles and at a great zone 2 pace. Seeing some recognisable and some not so recognisable sights along the route was also a definite bonus for me, experiencing the Clyde Tunnel, pedestrian and cycle path, which are kind of staples of the Press Play and Run Club's runs. Just a little bit of an eye-opener for me as to what those guys are doing since I'm not able to get down and take part myself normally. Bob Burrell also made an appearance for a fantastic post-run coffee chat and a wander into the city centre. Honestly, it was really great to see some familiar faces and meet new ones for the very first time as well. After the feedback from last year's visit to Glasgow, which was very much under the radar, I was pretty sure I couldn't get away with it for a second time, not that I was going to try it. Since then, I've managed to get a couple more miles bagged, nothing crazy, just enough to keep the level of fitness ticking over. With the conclusion of the election coming next week, I am eyeing an acceleration to my training for the Loch Ness 24 and, more importantly, the Baxter's Marathon. The Loch Ness 24 is changing daily for me just now. It does look like I'm going to be going in for a solo entry, getting the team entry changed. It'll be interesting doing it as solo, but it's also going to be a challenge. So I'll talk a little bit more about that maybe next week, as I know a little bit more myself. But yeah, it could be a good challenge, but we'll have to wait and see. But let's take the mention of events as a segue to what the wider community have been up to over the past weekend. I'm going to hold my hands up here and admit I mistakenly thought the West Highland Way event was this weekend coming and not last, and was caught out seeing the Insta posts and stories going But even though I didn't give any pre-event well-wishing, I can, of course, make up for it now with my own observations alongside the responses to this week's question box filling. Right off the bat, we have one of the fellas that came down for the social run, Stevie McKenna, with the inclusion for Kaylee Webster, the happy diet for her mammoth effort at the West Highland Way. He says it's been so inspiring to see her smash it. It's actually a sentiment shared by a good number of other listeners as well, with Ryan Miller, Ian Runs and Cycles, Stuart Runs a Lot, that he does, and James Gow, Jimmy Bunter, who actually added Emma Dirty Mother Runner and Gary Dempsey to his roll call, who were both taking part at the West Highland Way as well. Nikki Sheridan was a little bit more broad with her submission, shouting out anyone who towed the line at the West Highland Way. But we're going to stick with that event for a good part of this shout out as we return to James Gow, Jimmy Bunter, as he shouts out Roscoe Runs for volunteering at the event while also adding both Emily in the Outdoors and Davey Roberts for giving up their time to crew for their friends who were taking part. Combining the two, and you get Ryan's entry as he shouted out the West Highland Way finishers and support crews / runners. I'm going to jump in here and add Scott Coburn and Kevin Craig, who were also at the West Highland Way taking part. And then we're going to move here to Ian Runs and Cycles as he slid into my DMs to give a well put together response covering not only the West Highland Way, but also the broader scope of what was going on over the weekend, of which I'm going to read it verbatim. Ian wrote, "For the shout outs, it's going to be difficult not to miss anyone who achieved something spectacular over the weekend, regardless of the distance. Whether it was the Saltar 24 peeps, Jim Boyle in the Arctic Circle, or Stevie McKenna doing his 4x4x48 challenge. Gary put in a phenomenal shift at the West Highland Way. He's something else when it comes to distance running. My notable mention is Kaylee. I still can't quite articulate how proud I am of what she's achieved, and it's frightening to think she's only really getting started, with her first marathon being Loch Ness 2022. We, Ian and Kaylee, were chatting about what's next after she completed Loch Ness that year and her sights were firmly set on the West Highland Way. There was no nonsense, no creeping doubt even then. An unbelievable achievement to complete the event and earn the coveted goblet. Congratulations, Kaylee." Now, that's a sentiment I'm going to echo, like many in the community, regardless as to if they were responding or not to the question. To move on to other events, however, but sticking to some of the names already mentioned, Stuart Runs a Lot, that he does, wanted to shout out Susan Swarbrick-Dimmick, Carly Steph X, Ultra Linny and Pita for their Saltire 12 adventure, while also shouting out Mike Houston for his Saltire 24 efforts. Ryan also shared the same names for the Party at the Back Press Play and Run crew smashing the Saltire 24, Lynn, Susan, Steph and Pita. Jimmy also shared the exact same input with the notable addition of shouting out the Saltire 24 winner, Colin Ritchie, as well as a good few clapping emojis for Mike's amazing efforts. Jim Boyle, as previously touched on, was taking part in his 13th marathon. Now, if that's not an achievement enough, bagging a PB, taking part in the most northernmost AIMS marathon, one of the few evening marathons in the world, while also being in the Arctic Circle. Well, just look at the list there. That's some amount of bucket list items ticked off right there. Tromso, once again, not disappointing for a 99 listener. Well done, Jim. That was an absolutely cracking run you did there, and it did look like a spot on place to do it, as it did when our friend Uncle Lee was there last year as well. The lovely TJI Run for Shirts and Medals had a hot one at the Reeds Lake 5K. Honestly, it's great to see TJ back out smashing after a few iffy spells over the past year or so with injury and niggles and bits and pieces. So I'm glad to see her back out smiling and having a great time. Now, finally, we have my amazing pal and previous guest to the show, Emma Joy, better known as Lipstick and Trainers, as she was smashing her Ironman 703 PB in the Netherlands, ably supported by her Purple Queen support team. Emma has really committed herself to Ironman and is tearing it up, so it's great to see her always smiling, always smashing out some amazing achievements. Even though she had a bit of a rough spell, quite a serious accident at the beginning of the year, and she's just overcome it so well. So well done, Emma. Keep smashing it and we'll keep cheering you on. Congratulations to all of those who were mentioned. But if you weren't and you were taking part in an event at the weekend and you were smashing it, congratulations to you too. Get yourself in the question box next time it goes up. Get yourself shouted out and give yourself a good old pat on the back. But let's move on to this week's guest. And we're bringing back a man who's seldom away from the shout-out section, including this week. And of course, it is Jimmy Bunter, James Gow. It's over to last week's Steve to do the introduction after scoring the final three guest interviews on successive days. Here we go. Over to Steve. Today, we welcome a man who has been such a huge supporter of the podcast over recent seasons. Whether it's been through his regular inclusions of shout-outs and praise to others in the wider community, or his extremely valuable and appreciated feedback and praise to myself and the show. But when he's not being an absolute legend in the digital ether, he's being an absolute baller in his chosen field of self-imposed torture, being an ultra-runner. It's a wonder this man finds the time in the day to put in the training that you think is necessary to go the distances he is regularly pumping out, as he also juggles a busy career and family life. That's exactly what he does, though, keeping all the balls in the air to not only compete and complete many an ultra, but regularly coming in high up the finishing order. But let's find out more about this amazing ultra supporter, how he finds the time and what his ultimate goals in the field might be, as we welcome the final current member of the Insta Runners Roundup podcast I haven't already had on the show, James Gow, better known to you and I as Jimmy Bunter.
I'm going to need a recording of that. That's probably the best intro I've ever had. I'm going to have to read that to my wife and let her put it on a board somewhere just to see that.
Put the audio file on your phone and just play it to her every so often.
Definitely. I'm laughing at the bit you quoted. I think it was a legend in the digital ether. For anybody that knows me, I am the most untechnical, undigital person on the planet. I have not got a scooby about any of that.
When you're not you don't post much yourself, but you are regularly there in DMs and comments supporting other people. I mean, that goes a long way.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I think you have to be present because the actual community is such, they give you support. I mean, regardless of who it is, if you're at races, it's only right you give a bit back, eh? Mm-hmm. And Instagram's my kind of my go-to. Eh? Facebook, I am just absolutely zero interest in it whatsoever.
You've messaged me more on Facebook than I've had messages this year.
So a message on Facebook, but I never, I am never on Facebook. I've stuck to Instagram. Eh? That's where if anybody needs me, you can find me.
I guess where all the cool kids are now, isn't it? Instagram.
Yeah. although. I wish I could be a cool kid. I mean, I see some of these posts that, I don't know, I think Bob done one recently where it was all merging into stuff. You know, these ones where the frames all merge and things are flashing about. I'd love to be able to do that, but I just have absolutely no clue.
It just goes to show sometimes, though, James, that they have too much time in their day to be doing all the fancy stuff. Only say that because when I'm doing video editing, it's because I've got too much time on my hands.
Maybe when George and Emma are a bit older, more than likely they'll be able to show me before I actually learn how to figure it out myself.
They can do it for you. There you go. Child labour.
I mean, we'll get them doing other stuff. We'll add that to the list of pop-up money chores, right?
Oh, have you been having a good week?
I have. It's been stressful, to be honest. I've been started a new job, so new responsibilities, new roles. Not a new job role within my work. So I'm now a gaffer, which, again, if anybody knows me, you'll know I'm not a... I don't see myself as a leader, if that makes sense. However, obviously, other people do, so... it's just been stressful, just trying to manage work. Plus, the job itself is a bit stressful, so trying to manage work, and then obviously you come home and you've got two little kids, 4 and 6, so they've got their own ideas of what they want to be doing after school classes pretty much most nights of the week.
And a wife as well that you've got to keep happy.
And a dog and all that stuff. So, I mean, it is what it is. There's only one winner out of all, and that's the people in the house.
Yeah.
That's always how it is.
I think for transparency as well, this is recorded a week in advance. So you've got all the feedback you're getting from an episode that I haven't listened to because I didn't want it to influence this, but I believe it's a bit of a cracker as well. So you're getting a lot of contact and kind of draining a lot of your time.
So the actual podcast itself is like hats off to like say Jace and Bob, because they will do the majority of the groundwork. We obviously all do our homework and we've got our parts we play and what we do, but they do most of the groundwork. But definitely off the back of the recent podcast that was just with Steve and myself about the Ultra Scotland, there's been loads of people kind of contacting, or it's just my Instagram has went crazy. The other guys, I don't think, because they probably followed all these people anyway.
Yeah.
Whereas me, I deem myself relatively new to the running community as such. Like I've ran for years, but I've never really put myself out there, if that makes sense. So I didn't really know anybody. So my Instagram, having done a few of these things, it's kind of people want to follow me and I've followed people back and I've been introduced to a lot more people. So definitely in that respect, it's been like interesting connecting with different people. And I mean, the pod that just went out just there, like speaking to Stevie and speaking to him before the race, and we caught up during the race a bit, and then just speaking to him after on the pod and stuff was great. And I prefer listening to those kind of stories and like chats that you have on like yourself with, I don't mean to diminish them, but like normal people. That's in the bit, right? Like normal people, because you can relate to them and you can take a bit from them and you can see a bit of them in yourself sometimes.
Yeah.
Whereas there is other podcasts like that I listen to, and they interview a lot of the ultra elite athletes, and there is bits that they talk about that you can relate to, like the mind stuff and stuff, but ultimately they're on a completely different level, eh? So
yeah, I think that's the thing I like the most about the niche that I found with this this podcast. It's everyday people. And I know a lot of other podcasts do say they're everyday people, and they are, but they're everyday elites doing things that some of us will never experience, either through obstacles or financial. And I just like having conversations with people that you can go, he's just like me, or she's just like me. I think that's one of our biggest plus points.
Definitely. And I think that's what will draw most people out to listen to you.
Yeah. But that's a good thing with the ultra runner, with the ultra runners, the insta runners as well, is with the five of you, it's five guys that you can relate to, as much as yourself and Mike are going incredible distances doing insane things. And again, it's not to diminish you using the same sort of way, but you're relatable. Whereas some other podcasts, sometimes it's maybe not as relatable.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we spoke a little bit before we came on here, and I was saying that a couple of people have messaged me, and one of them was just chatting away and talking about how he's listened to Pod, he enjoyed it, and he's thinking about giving an ultra marathon a go, which to me, that's like, we've won then. That podcast has won if it's even changed that one guy.
Yeah.
And he's now thinking, based on what me and Steve had to say, that he thinks I'm I can do that as well. I'm going to give it a shot, and that's, I'm all for that, eh?
If you can inspire one person
Ah,
and motivate them,
definitely.
yeah. Yeah.
Definitely, because I don't see myself as this big inspirational fella. Like I said, I just kind of quietly go about my business and I just do what needs to be done when it needs to be done and enjoy it. But if a couple of people even look at me and think, oh, that looks good what he's doing, I wonder if I could do that, then absolutely go for it. And I said to him as well, like the person I was speaking, I was like, give me, like, by all means, if you want any info, you want to do anything, you want to go for like a run or something, give me a shout. Just give me a shout, absolutely no problem, because you might get any later that, but before I started all this, I was probably in their position thinking, could I do that? I've absolutely no idea if I could do it. Probably a bit scared to decide if you can do it. And if you just, I mean, to me, what's the worst that happens? You give it a crack and
Yeah.
you didn't do it.
You
I
get a
mean,
DNF. That's the worst that can, well, there's obviously there's a lot worse that can happen, but the
I
worst that
like,
can
I
happen, you get a
mean,
DNF.
correct. And I mean, at least you've tried.
Yeah.
Even everybody that, and I always put it in all my posts after me, anybody that toes the line that started one of them is congratulations, because that's a big deal stepping up to tackle something like that, eh? But yeah, it's been busy. Life,
That's
it's always busy. Life is just insane. It's just always busy.
And it will be until the kids are 18 and moved out, and even then, they probably won't
Correct.
calm down.
And they're getting to that age at the minute, it's just attitude, eh? For the oldest, like utter attitude. And he's got it primary too. Like, don't get me wrong, you'd never change it, because they're just, you come home sometimes and you need that kind of the sparks that they've got in the carefree life and stuff. And you need that. And also running and stuff, they'll help. And like you speak to them and the likes, eh? They're just
Yeah.
life is a bit stressful and a bit busy, but
Ugh.
I'm not going to ever moan at
Now you got to
this
embrace it
one
while you
is.
can.
Yep.
The number of parents that I've spoken to fairly recently with slightly older kids, and they say they don't get a word out of them unless it's through Snapchat. And that's
Aye, that's
pretty kind
horrible.
of sorry state of affairs. So
Aye.
embrace it while you can. And then, like you say, it must help so much having their little faces at the finish line as well. But we'll get to that. But you did touch on there, and its best place to start is, I would normally say, how did you get into running? But maybe start there actually. But how did you get motivated into tackling your first ultra?
So that's it's strange. It's a bit of coincidence as well that recently, or last week, when you're hearing this, Steve shared us all on the podcast his why for running, which was that his little one was sickly and poorly, and he used that as his motivation. So I got in it on 2021. My little girl at 14 months old was taking a rush to Glasgow Sick Kids, where what we thought was like epilepsy, but it wasn't. It turns out it was her heart was stopping. So this was just as COVID was kind of starting to relax a bit. So anyway, we spent 5 weeks in their ICU unit, cardiac unit. They'd never seen this at all in any kind of girl or any kid at that age. In all medical journals across the whole world, it was nuts. So like every 20 minutes, the ECG machine just going for, the beep, beep, the beep, like every 20 minutes, and she just goes and then she gets back up. Doctors come in, oh, we
Girl.
use your stuff. So for 5 years, sorry, 5 years, 5 months that happened. So anyway, off the back of that, she got a pacemaker and she was fine. And she's now a medical case study for sick kids. So off the back of that, my sister and her friends who ran, they signed up to the Edinburgh Marathon, which would have been for the 2022, and they were raising money for Glasgow Sick Kids. So I said to them, stupid at this point, because I didn't run, when you've got to do your long run as part of your training, give me a shout and I'll come out and I'll just do it with you. And she was like, what? Now, my sister knows what I'm like. I back myself. Like in all kind of activity, like sporting, I will back myself 100% and say, I can do that. With no training or that, but I could do that. So she was like, "Are you off your head?" She's like, "It's going to be, we're going to do 12 miles. I was like, "Aye, I'll come." So off I go with just a pair of, it was like kind of jogging material shorts. I had just normal socks and a pair of like Kanye West tennis trainers. So anyways, we're on the 12 mile. I was in absolute tatters, but they were like, "I cannot believe you've just done that." So then I was like, "Is that good?" They're like, "Aye, that's decent." So then the guy at the work was like, "Do you want to sign up for the Falkirk half?" And I was like, "Aye, let's go for it. Let's go for it. Aye, let's go for it." So I'd done the Falkirk half and they put a wee bit of training in for that and I ended up doing it, I think it was 1 hour 36. With a pair of flat Nike, I can't remember what they are. I've still got them, they're about 15 years old, barefoot shoes. So it's the ones you don't wear any. There's no sole, there's no drop, there's no nothing, just flat. And I had two gels and not a clue, really. And I did it 1:36, and then he was like, "That is unbelievable." So I was like, "Oh, is this good?" So that got me a bit of confidence. And then we were meant to do Edinburgh Marathon the following year, which would have been, when was
2023.
Yeah. And I was training hard for that, believe it or not. I was looking to get about 3:15, 3:20. I was smashing some serious sessions, 18 minute treadmill, 5Ks and stuff, like smashing times, and got injured just because my body just wasn't used to it, and I wasn't stretching, I wasn't doing anything, I was just literally, because I didn't really have a clue, I was just running. And I thought at the time I was doing all right, I was reading bits, but there was no stretching, there was no kind of aftercare, there was no, you know, the stuff you learn to know now that is probably the most important bit of the film thing.
It's a common story. How many of us actually do all the stretching? How many of us go for the physio and then release the muscles and inevitably you knacker yourself out?
So I went and the physio told me it was like my tibial band or something and I can't, you're not able to race. So I was like, okay. So I was scunnered and I was just like, ah. So I spoke to the guy at work and we were just chatting about doing something a bit out there and a bit like, what could we do to push ourselves? And then I don't know why it came up, but I seen Glasgow Edinburgh, which was going to be the end of 2023. And at that point, a family friend had been diagnosed with MS. Mm-hmm. And I just decided, you know what? I'm going to run that. I'm just going to do it for charity. And I was like, I think I could do that. I could do that. I'll get it done. And so I messaged the girl, Alana Marshall, and asked if she would mind me running to raise funds for her to go and get treatment. And she was absolutely over the moon. So I signed up for it. And that's what led me up to basically. So I went from nothing to half marathon to ultra marathon. No marathon. I done training in between, obviously. I trained hard before Glasgow Edinburgh, but that's the steps I took in terms of timed proper races. It was Falkirk half, then straight to Glasgow Edinburgh ultra.
That's crazy, man. You talked before we pressed record about AB being a machine. You've just demonstrated yourself. That's crazy.
It is, but I said to you as well, like, to me, it's 90% mental.
Mm-hmm.
You can get yourself in a physical condition, which is great, but if you cannot go into that place, and that's the thing with ultras, and it's probably the same for those guys like Ryan or whoever that are running, but in fact, it'll be the same for everybody who's running a time in a marathon and they want to push themselves. So whether that's Amy or Jace or yourself or Bob or Lee Camp, whoever is running what they want to run, it's going to be a push for them. So long as you can get into that spot where you're sore,
mm-hmm.
and you know you're going to be sore because that has to happen in order to achieve these goals. So long as you're comfortable being in that place, then you should be right. And I'm just by how I've kind of been brought up and stuff like that and uber competitive, I'm absolutely more than happy being in that place where I'm hurting and it's sore. I'm quite comfortable being in there and continuing, eh? So That's
How did the GTE go, given that that was like a super wet year,
soft.
almost a duathlon? I've already done, we already mentioned this to you, I've already recorded the final episode. So I know someone else is coming on that's done that one and had a totally different take on it from the way that I've spoken to Gary and Tanya, who've done it in the past. How was it for you?
Oh, it was absolutely insane. I have never seen rain like that in my entire life. And it's so when you're wet, you're wet, eh? You're like, I had it all planned out. I'm going to get a change of clothes and I'm going to do this and I'm going to take my time and I'm just going to enjoy it. And when the rain came, I was like, ah, no chance. I'm getting this done. And I got the hood up and I stopped it. I think I stopped for 2 minutes at like maybe the second checkpoint, fill my water and I just kept going. And at a pace that I wanted to keep running, but it was like monsoon. Like, I mean, and then got to Falkirk and actually I met the girl who I was running for. So they came out with family and stuff because I'm from Falkirk. And I ended up stopping for 40 minutes there speaking to them. And that kind of killed me a bit. My legs started seizing up. I was meant to have a change of clothes and I didn't even bother. Again, being new here, I ran me 2 500 mil flasks of tailwind, and I think I had three gels for the first for Glasgow to Falkirk. I took a couple of bits of chocolate, but the time I got to Falkirk, I was eating potatoes, which was fine. And then headed to Falkirk and got to Pullman, and from Pullman to the end, I could not eat. That was me done. Couldn't eat, but I knew. Because my competitive, but nobody knew at the time, but everybody thought I was just wanting to finish. But I had told a few people, no, I don't, I want gold medal, I want top 100. That's it. Not that I wouldn't be happy because like I'd raised money and I'd done a good deed and raised awareness for Alana and stuff, but personally, I wanted the gold and that's top 100. And Glasgow Innings was a bit different. So there's other ultras you could probably finish top 100 in if you push, but Glasgow Edinburgh was like for the pacey ultra runners because it's flat. So it's like those guys that want to go a wee bit that can run fast marathons but want to go a wee bit beyond. You know, for example, like an Abbey or like a Ryan. Those 3 hour guys that if they slowed down a touch, they could just blast the rest of that, I reckon, and just keep going and get incredible time. So to get top 100 and that was I was delighted because on the way to the end I was getting phone calls and messages and absolutely my phone was going crazy and it was like my dad phoning me because like I said before he is mega competitive. So he's like phoning me and messaging me and like telling me you're 8th position, get a move on, hurry up and you're this and I'm like dad I'm dying here, eh? And he was phoning me, messaging me, and my phone ran out at Linlithgow, so I ran half a race with no phone. Sorry, no phone, my watch.
Oh no.
So I
So
had
you just
no pace,
self-paced
no
by that
heartbeat,
point.
no nothing, no. Wasn't eating, didn't have a watch, didn't have anything. I was just basically running in the pouring monsoon rain, miserable. It wasn't great, but I think like I've been out running enough in the rain and stuff to because I trained hard for that event. Like there was weeks in the run up to that where I'd do a marathon Sunday, 10 Tuesday, 10 Thursday, marathon Saturday. Like so
Jesus.
there was weeks where I was doing some serious miles. So I was ready, but
So even when you were miserable, was it purely the competitive side of you that kind of just dragged your backside to the finish?
100%, yeah. It's
Because
that I will be running, and nobody knows this but Kayleigh Webster, by the way, so you'll get a scoop here. When I was running, I was so miserable and I was in a spot where I was really struggling and in the pain cave that I phoned my wife. And my wife knows, like we touched on earlier, what to do to cheer me up. And she just put my daughter on the phone. Nothing else, I didn't even speak. She just put my daughter on the phone. And my daughter started speaking to me and telling me I'm doing good and I can run fast and she loves me and yada yada yada. And then she's like, okay, bye, love you, and gone. And then that's it. And that gives me like that gives you kind of like a wee boost.
That gives you that extra gear.
And that pushed me on to then no problem. And I've done that in every other race since.
Yeah.
Or they've sent me messages that I keep, send me on WhatsApp and I'll keep it. And at a point in the race, and I've done it in every race, I'll just open my phone and listen to the message. And then that's me, I'm off again. I'm away. It's just like a, like that reason. Because Sarah thinks I'm daft, but I want to do good as well because I don't, and it's a strange thing. Like, obviously I don't want to let anybody down. But I know I won't let anybody down, if that makes sense, because if I just didn't do it or I failed on that, folks still be like, well, like I said before, what's the worst that happens? You've given it a crack.
Yeah.
But for me, because I am that competitive with myself, I would beat myself up for weeks if I didn't be like, come on, James, get a grip of yourself.
If you know you're capable of getting a gold and then you don't get a gold, that's where you start beating yourself up because you overanalyze other people's times and you go, I could have done that. Why didn't I do that?
So give me I'm good that way. I will not look at anybody else and be like, oh, I should have beat them. Or I could
Yeah.
But I will absolutely lambast myself for, and I'm just, but I'm like that in all aspects. At work, if the job's not as good as I think it should have been, then I'll beat myself up about it. I'm my own biggest critic, really.
Yeah,
and that goes into the running side as well. That I want to do the absolute best I can.
That's a good mentality to have. It is a really good mentality to have, especially given there was kind of two flip sides to last year. The GT wasn't there. It was like there was people pulling out just because it was so hard. But then on the flip side, was it not like a record year for the finishing time?
The course record was
broken. Yeah. So then you had that two different.
Was it 6 hours or 7 hours or something?
Some of our minds, yeah.
And it's strange because at that time, my mate who I went to it with, and he had trained for it, and he's different level. He was in fifth place, and his plan was to run at just under 7 minute miles for the full race. And when I spoke to him at the end, he said after a mile, the guys that were running it were closer to 6 minutes for the first 2-3 miles. They were obviously gone. And he said at that point, he just says, whoa, wait a minute. And he qualified for like Great Britain Triathlon Team over whatever. So he's not a mug. He's like, he is a top runner. And within a mile or two, he was like, no chance. I'll just rein this in a bit.
Yeah. They were running like they'd stolen something.
It was ludicrous. Vapor. Because you can see, because it's flat. So
yeah.
They had the vapor flies on. The guy that won it had alphas, and the other guys, I think those one had vapor flies and one had something else. So these guys, that's what I'm saying, these guys are absolute speedsters on the flat. So these guys are more than likely running 3 hour marathons or close to it, especially if they're running 6 hour, 7 hour 56 miles. That's just absolutely mental.
They are just AB rocking up to, which one was it that he did, and he just rocks up, and I can't even remember that conversation, but he rocks up.
Way,
in his carbons and just blasts that out.
Just absolutely smashes it, aye.
So why did you then continue with ultras? If that was such a horrible race, what convinced you to continue? Because you've done a fair number of them now.
So I always want to push myself. I want to get to the point where I want to see how far I can go, and then I can't go any further, if that makes sense.
Right, yeah.
Whether that's 100 miles, 200 miles, whatever it is, I want to get to the point where I physically I'm beaten and I can't do it.
Yeah.
And I'm well aware that I'm going to get that off one race, so if I fail at 100, I'm probably going to have another shot, and if I fail it again, I'll be like, right, 100, that's obviously, that's beat me. But I just want to push myself as hard as I can to see at what point I'm going to get broke, because there's never been anything as such any other sport that can do that to you, I don't think. You can play football like I did all my days, literally till I was 35, played football, and it can break you in ways you like, but disappointment, but then you get over it. But I don't think there's anything I've done in any sport like running, especially ultra, that physically breaks you down the way it does when you're running and you're in the event. You go through so much, you go through highs and it's the best feeling ever, to you go to absolute lows, like me where like I need to phone my little girl to get a pep talk for a 4-year-old to tell me to, you know, shake myself. And then at the end you go back up to highs, you see people, like you go through this whole range of emotions on it, and at the end it takes a lot out of you, and it drains you, eh? So I'm wanting to push to see where I can get to distance wise, eh?
Mental and physical. It's like I think that a lot of people maybe miss the fact that it is so mentally draining running distance. Physically draining, I think everyone knows it's going to be sore. No matter how fast you are, how good you are, it's going to be sore. But mentally draining is just it's another thing altogether. And if you've got ways to combat that, whether that's phoning your little girl or it was something at the 24 last year, they arranged for Rachel McPherson to have some letters. So when she was struggling, open letter, and that was her reason. So it's very similar. So it's more of a journey of self-discovery to kind of find really what your makeup is.
And I mean, so the bit, Sally McRae does that. Sally McRae, top level elite ultra runner, like one of the best in the world. Mm-hmm. And she has letters in her bag that her kids have wrote her, and she's never opened them. I think it was her she put on her blog. She's never opened them. And she's keeping them, and same like you just said with Rachel, this is her why, that when you get to a place where you're absolutely, you think you're done, she said she will open them at that point. Mm-hmm. Because she knows once she's done that, that'll be her, she'll be back in the game, and she'll feel motivated and she'll go again, eh? So it's a bit self-discovery, and I suppose part of it as well is training for it. When you're out there and you're just running, you'll know as well. Like, you just switch off to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, like you could be having a stressful day at work, or the kids might be annoying you. Just go to run. And for that, whatever it is, hour, 2 hours, whatever it is, you just switch off and you just focus on nothing about whether it's the birds in the woods or whatever. You're just, I love it. I don't think of anything. And every time I come back, I don't think of anything that's stressing me, I'll think of loads of other stuff. And the wife always will laugh because we'll come back, I'll say to Sarah, I'll say, I've got an idea. And she's like, oh, here we go, what is it now? And I'll be like, oh, I've been thinking of this race, or I've been thinking of that race, and I think I'm going to do it and stuff. And she just kind of laughs, eh? But part of the training for me is a side that I enjoy as well, just getting out and being out there. And
you said that on the Insta runners as well, though. You don't train nearly as much as maybe some other ultra runners because you just don't have the time in the day to do it. So when it comes to event day, you just have to go out and do it, regardless of how far you've run in training.
Yeah, so I think as well, so you're absolutely right. I will always try and endeavour to do like a long run on a Saturday or Sunday, so like 15, 16 miles. I'll always try and do one of them. During the week, like, I do not have the time, and sometimes I don't have the want. Like, if I come in, a lot of times we'll come in for work, we get in, we'll have dinner with the kids, and it's like, James, it's your turn to take the little one away to rugby. So you're there, and then you're back in at 8, and you're like, look, I'm not going to 8. I should go out, but I'm like, I'm not going to 8. So then you sit and you put the wee fella to bed, and do that, and then you come back, and I want to spend some time with like my wife, see how her day's been, and see if she's okay, because I think that gets lost in a lot of this as well, how much your partner gives up to allow you to do these things as well.
Running and I know, widows.
And I know it's like, by allowing me to do it ultimately she will get what is meant to be the best version of me because I should be happier and blah, blah. But Sarah, I'm thinking 6 months before Glasgow, Edinburgh, and then through Christmas, New Year, and then up to just before the race just there. I mean, she, like, I was away to all sorts of places, running up the Ockles and away for almost days, Pentlands I was doing, and going out in the morning for like 4 hour runs and stuff myself. And so she gives up a lot, eh? So I kind of, I like, they're my priority. No yeah. running. I do run because I enjoy it, but ultimately, the kids are my, and Sarah's my absolute priority. So yeah. I want to spend time with them. And then when I can fit it in, I'll go to run. And if I see a race and I like it, I'll sign up for it. And because I back myself, like I back myself to go out and to do it. So if I sign up for it, somebody's like, oh, you've not really done the running, then I'll get it done. I know yeah. I'll get it done. Because I will not, I won't give up. You'd have to drag me off or time me out. I will not, I will just keep going until I get it done. It's just that competitive drive inside me. And that's no me against you
mm-hmm.
or against him or her or whoever. That's just me against me. If I'm yeah. saying I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And that's a bit of the, I think as well, sometimes where I put on social media that I'm running this race, because then it makes me accountable. And if I know you know it and everybody else knows it, then I have no choice but to, like, I'm going to get this done. Because
yeah.
that thing, I don't want to feel like I let people down, which is stupid, because that's, like I said, it's my thinking, it's my way kind of getting myself through it and forcing myself to do it. It's almost, it sounds like I'm punishing myself a bit, but I do, I genuinely do enjoy it. I love it.
There's been a few people recently, they've maybe not reached the expectation that they wanted in a race, or they've had a DNF, especially in ultra running, and you all you can say to them, because you feel for them,
mm-hmm.
because it doesn't affect me, it doesn't affect my day-to-day life, you just have to say, well, you tried, there will always be more races,
mm-hmm.
because that's all you can say. So it doesn't affect me, but then it affects you. Because your perception of everyone's judging you, but also you're judging yourself more than anyone else could ever judge.
Yeah, because we are the worst own critics, eh?
Yeah.
And I mean, like, that's at every level, not just ultra, because just think of you marathon guys.
Yeah.
You train so hard, put yourself through all those blocks, runs and sprints and hills and whatever else it is, and tempos and everything, to get that number. Ultimately, marathon people will chase that number. And if you don't get that number, and you think you should have, you'll forgo all the progress you've made over the last 16 weeks, and you'll kind of give yourself a going over because you didn't get that number.
But even if you do get that number, you still get yourself a going over because you think, I could have done better. I did that with Amsterdam. I know that Ryan's done it. I know that Avery's done it. We all do it. You get to that point and you go, like, for me, Amsterdam, I wanted to be sub four. I'd never been sub four. And when I get a 3:45, even though it was a 3:42, I had so much left in my tank. In my head, I'm going, I should have been a 3:30. I should have been chuffed. I should have been delighted that yeah. I got well over my time. I was a 40-minute PB. You'd think I'd be ecstatic. Mm-hmm. And I was, after I maybe recovered mentally. And I think that's where it comes back to as well. You're so mentally drained. You were your own biggest critic, because you're thinking, I know what I've got left in my tank. I could have kicked earlier, but then if I kicked earlier, I might not have got to the end. It's just part of the course.
That's what keeps you coming back, though.
Yeah.
Because if you had nothing to strive for, there'd be absolutely no point in you doing it other than just keeping fit. But you need that carrot in front of you to go for. Yeah. I mean, like, not every race I'll go, like, it just so happens that the Glasgow Edinburgh ones, or sort of the GB Ultra ones, give you a top 100, get gold. And, like,
yeah.
And we spoke about that on the pod. Like, that's clever, because that creates races within races. And even the guy who's 101 position, usually you're just 101 and you've just seen the race out. But if you're 101, you've got a race on. You've got a race to get 100 and get a gold medal and not a silver. So it's like, I think everybody needs that little thing to keep them going, and ultimately it brings out the best in you when you're competing, whether that be with yourself or with others or with the clock. Like, I think everybody needs something, but to me, I don't want to get into that where I lambast myself
Do you think you also like the idea of getting gold, silver, and bronze? Because the generation we grew up with, it was still where you had a winner and you had the second and third place. And for a time, it was everyone's a winner. And effectively, everyone is a winner when you get a medal. But you still get your guys on the first, second, and third, the podium, they're getting trophies. But in a competition like that, where you've got a gold, silver, and bronze for 100, 200, etc., it adds that bit of competitiveness of not everyone is a winner. You are all ultimately winners, but there's different levels of winners in that competition.
Gold winners, silver winners, aye, so it separates. Yeah. Aye, so that GB Ultras, that's an absolute. They've won a watch by doing. Somebody's been very clever in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what separates them, I think, for the rest. I think they put on the best races by a mile for my thing. But I think for me as well, as like I said, just even for a young age, I've just always been competitive. And that's been driven by my dad, who was uber competitive when he was younger, and has just driven it into me to be like probably one of those old school dads where it's like, win, come on, do it, you can do it. And it's never a cuddling, well done, mate, love you. It was always a, that's it, well done, pal. You know what I mean? One of those old school guys that's a pat on the back. And like, even just recently, he's letting his guys slip like a couple of times. He's on the phone. He's like, love you, son. And then I'm like, looking at my wife, like, what the heck's just happening here? But he was kind of old school, and he was driven, and he was, did judo at like international level and trained for the country and stuff. And so he had it in him. And I think that's come on to me, because everybody in my family says, I will do my hardest to win a game of dominoes or win a game of... I just do not... I'm just naturally competitive. And I'm a bit old school. It's hard now with that whole everyone's a winner mentality that you had, that... unfortunately, there has to be a winner at some point.
Yeah. It's not a bad thing to teach youngsters that everyone can be a winner. But at the same time, if you go into life where everyone's a winner, you're going to be sorely disappointed very quickly. You've mentioned getting a promotion at work. You can't all get the promotion. You can't all get the girl, get the guy, get whoever you want. You have to have winners and losers in life. And yeah, it sounds like a good old way to do it. At that point, I would love to just go through the normal routine and saying like, what else have you done? What other events? But that almost takes away from the fact that you do talk about that on the other podcast, and you talk about the events as they come up. And I don't want to have like that repetition. So with GB Ultras in mind, do you have a determination to go get that, what did you call it before we hit record, the mega medal,
what's it called? Oh, I should know this.
You do the Grand Slam. Have you got like a determination to get a Grand Slam medal? Is there something that you're going, right, I know I can do this, and I know I can do that, I can push myself for this. Is there something like that you are striving for, as you're like, while you're trying to break yourself, you're also aiming towards?
Yeah, I'd like to go 100 miler, then more than 100. I'd like to go 100 miler. I'd also like to give a backyard a go, or a 24 hour, or both. And I would love, but this is a million miles off. I would love to do something like the race across Scotland, which is the 215 miles, 5 days. I'd just love to, and it's a bit of that thing myself, because I'm so competitive and how I am, like, to just say you've done that, is like, that puts you in a different bracket for that. Not that if anybody follows me on Instagram, you'll see that I'm not like look at me, I've ran this, and that means I'm great and better than everybody. But just for me to know inside that you've done something like that is like incredible. Like, so I'd love to do that. That's the aspiration. I'd like to go 100, like to try 24 hours in a backyard, and I would also like to do move up towards 200 kind of distance, eh? That would be the end goal. And also there's a couple of the like the multi-day events that I'd like different countries and stuff. Yeah, I'd love to go and run Madeira, do either the I think there's a 100 mile and there's a 55 mile. I'd love to go and do that. Stuff like that. Just running different places as well.
You're like an old school adventure type guy, aren't you? It's people like you that discovered the world, that went places that not very many other people went at the time and did things that ultimately not very many people are going to do.
I'd love that. Like, me and my wife always talk, and Sarah will be like, if you won the lottery, and Sarah's always like, oh, I'd have a house on the beach and I'd have that. And I was like, no way, I'd be dead in like a year. She's like, I'd be away to like Antarctic, I'd be away to the jungle, I'd be away here. There's no way I'd be like just sitting around, I'd be everywhere. Like this year, I was actually meant to go up Kilimanjaro. Again, that kind of that family thing. I had all the money and it was saved and stuff and it was booked, but then I seen the expenditure for the experience and I thought, you know what, I'd rather, Sarah was raging at me, but I'd rather take that and I'd rather go away holidays with you guys a couple of times this year, and I'd rather make memories with you than go away for myself for 10 days and make a memory on my own. I'd rather go with the kids. So I took it on, booked a holiday, but I like getting out and doing stuff and exploring and going to see new places and stuff like that, eh?
You've got, I don't know if you know, have you ever heard of him, John Shields?
Nope.
So John Shields, he was like a figure that came at the first, he appeared at the first Loch Ness 24 is when I got introduced to him. And he's like won the spine race and different these sorts of events around the world, like running in the Antarctic, running in the jungle, running in the desert, running up the length of the UK sort of thing. He's won all these sorts of things. And I think that's maybe ultimately, if you'd won the money or if you had the money going, that's the sort of thing I could see you doing, just pushing your boundaries, but also then not adversely affecting the family. The family could come, you can afford to do everything and they could enjoy it as well.
Yeah, times when the kids get a bit older, nowhere, and we can go on holidays and maybe or may not be around about the time where there's maybe, I don't know, like a long run or an ultra marathon or something. And you can sit on the beach and I'll go and poddle around the hills and I'll come back and get you, and everybody's happy. Aye?
Yeah.
At the minute, it's family first and then running. And then that's how it is. And that's how it'll always be until the kids have absolutely no interest in men. They want to go and do their own things. And then,
unless you influence them to do it as well, and then you end up coaching them. And
so you say that. So my littlest, so my oldest, sorry, George, he's been out a couple of times. He's interested in it. So he's been out and he can run, what is it he did? He did something like just over a mile and a half and something like, I want to say it was like 11 minutes or 12 minutes, which is good to six. So
yeah,
that's good. And Emily, who is not into running around and climbing and jumping stuff, she's more artsy. She has a few times started running home from nursery with mum because she wants to be like dad. Because if you go out running all the time, it gives you a healthy heart. Because she's obviously well aware that hers is, she calls it broken. But she says if she can go out and she can run like daddy, then it gives her a healthy heart. So she's interested in it as well, eh? Which I said, when Sarah told me that, I was like, that's me.
Yeah.
I'm done. I could just, if I stop
positive
just
influence.
Now.
Yeah.
Because you have that kind of, going back to my training stuff, you have that kind of, the guilty, like you said, they're going out all the time, but knowing a little bit that they see why you're doing it and understand it, because they were at the end of the race there. So they seen me finishing and they'd seen what it was all about and they got to experience it. It kind of hopefully paints them a little picture that daddy's not always just out of the house running because he doesn't want to be there. He's there's a reason for it. So aye, but definitely aye, if I could, we'd be out all over the world, but I imagine everybody would be the same.
Ah, there would
if you
be.
had,
There
if
would
you had
be.
the chance.
Oh, you would hope so anyway. You would hope people would explore and do stuff. No, it was a cracker, a photo as well, that because obviously we're friends on Facebook, and you set that as your I can't even remember what you call it, your header image. And it is a cracker of a photo to have the family there. And it does inspire you to kind of get to the finishing line, and you want to see them, and they spur you on.
So in that race, believe it or not, just what you were saying is I struggled in that race. So after I didn't get, I talked about it a little bit in the pod, but I think because my internet was mono, but I really struggled in that race. After about 12 miles, I thought it was my hammy went, it might have been just severe cramp. I was actually on the ground, I fell over. I couldn't get over stiles and stuff. I was like in a bad way, and I actually messaged my wife and said, look, you might need to come and get well. I'm not sure I'll be able to finish this because my hammies went, it's absolutely killing me. So anyway, plodded on and got to whatever it was, checkpoint four. And that's when there was then, sorry, checkpoint three, you leave it and then there's the big climb. And as I was leaving, phone goes and it's Emily. And she's holding up, have I got it there? I don't know what it is. And she's holding up the poster she's made for me at the finish line. I didn't even speak to her. She's just like, hi, Dad, I've made you this and you're doing amazing and keep running. And I was like, and then Sarah came on it after. She's like, remember, it's courage to give it up as well, just as much courage to stop as it is to keep going. And I was
Probably
like,
more so, actually.
there is no chance I am stopping after seeing her with that little poster. You can absolutely forget it. And then that was it. I was off skiing.
She says she's got a broken heart. That sounds like she's the most unique little girl. She's got a heart like no other.
Oh, crazy, crazy! Aye, she's certainly unique. Aye.
Long.
She's got an attitude, but
That'll get worse.
that's a whole different story. I just say she hates it for her mum.
So covering like future targets and stuff, then that's a good insight as to who you are, I suppose. Before we kind of draw a line then, because I'm just seeing the time of how long has it got, I could listen to you all night and make one really long episode, which would be fantastic. What has been your hardest challenge so far then? What was it, the last race, or has there been something that's really tested you to almost breaking point, like you've said you wanted to get to?
This might be something that you didn't expect, but see, for me, see, the hardest part of this whole thing hasn't been the races or the miles. It's I actually physically challenged myself at the end of the year after Glasgow Edinburgh to become more social because I was, like I said, I trained myself for almost a year, not a single person, just out myself, content. And I was starting to get a bit sick yet, but I knew I wanted to do more stuff, so I actually made a conscious effort to be more social, which isn't, some
It's
people
not
will
easy.
laugh, that is not
It's
correct
not
when you,
easy.
and I think it's when you get older as well. I mean, you spoke about it as well in your chat, and Bob was on, and Bob even said that like he's been to races, and I think he was saying that he was in the car and he talked to Celtic and
He's
away
just
he
driven
went
off.
home. So it's not easy, and I actually forced myself to do it, and that's when I kind of become a bit more like I followed a lot more people on Instagram, and I was having a look at what they're doing, and I spoke to a few people and messaged back on reels and stuff, and just kind of got a bit chatting. And then it was Lee Campbell, as everybody and their
He
dogs, like,
is.
oh, it was
He's
Lee.
everyone's uncle.
I spoke to Lee, and it was basically I spoke to Lee, and he was at me for ages to come down to the E3 Miles, the Thursday night trails. So I went down. I think it was, I think I've got it. I think it was like the December it was actually. December last year. And I went down, went on a little run, like I think it was 7 hours or 8 hours, and loved it. Absolutely loved it. And then after that, went to another one. And then it just so happened, like obviously on Instagram and stuff, and people see what you're doing, and got speaking to Jace and spoke to Mike quite a lot because we do a lot of the same things and we're into the same stuff. And Jace invited me to like it was like a pre-John Muir Wakey. We called it a fuel. It was like a dinner, just a dinner to go get a dinner before
That's where
it.
that photo came from.
And Ian, so yeah, Ian was there. So there was
Yep.
Ian, Bob, Abe, me, and Mike, and we were all but Bob and Ian. We were all running the John Muir the next again morning. So for me, speaking to Lee and him, basically, like I credit him with me getting a bit more social, because he's introduced me to not only the E3 Milers group on the trails, but also when I've been to other events, he would introduce me to people and invite me to things and runs up the Pentlands and stuff. So I owe him lots, and also the likes of Jason inviting me to, because I met Jason at the Villa Forest 15K. And we just kind of got speaking and stuff, and then he invited me because he knew I was doing the John Muir. And going to that dinner was like a big thing for me, because I'm not like a specifically out there or a big group person. And I ended up going out for dinner with them, and then off the back of that, like between the kind of E3 Milers Pentland runs and that, you meet more folk, and obviously doing more events, you meet people. But by knowing, for example, Ali, who's quite social, and you go and speak to him, and he introduces you to, I don't know, a Gary Dempsey or a yourself or a Jason or a Rachel or whoever, it kind of breaks down the barriers and makes it a bit easier for you to become social, if that makes
It
sense.
does make sense because it's the hardest thing. It's, as you say, as an adult, it's different for kids. Maybe not so much just now. The post-COVID kids are they struggle a lot, and I get that. But kids could always, no matter age, no matter race, within a certain catchment, they could play with each other. They could be the best friends, and break down barriers. Whereas for us, it's one of the biggest, hardest things you can do because you. I don't know about you. You look at someone and you think they're judging me by looking at me, or you hear someone laughing and you think, are they laughing at me? Or you get in your own head so much. It goes back to what Bob said. You get in your head so much, you end up just walking away. You don't put yourself out there, or you don't want to speak up because you don't want someone to think, who's this weirdo? What are they talking to me for?
It's also that stigma as well. Like we spoke just off air. I don't really class myself as this big runner, if that makes sense. Like, I'm not showing people a 60-meter block where I'm doing sprints or I'm doing whatever. And I'm not saying that's what you need to do to be a runner and stuff, but I don't class myself as this guy that goes out and does like all this astonishing runs and does. I run when I can. I run when I want, and I enter events and I run far, and I just force myself to do it. But I don't class myself as this, like even this podcast, when you asked me on, I was like, who's going to want to actually listen to me just waffle about, I don't train, I don't really do this, or, you know what I mean? So you have all these people that are doing all these exciting things and posting things, and I think that's obviously a bit. Sometimes that's the downfall of social media, but I don't really think I'm that exciting, or if that, you know what I mean? If
No,
that makes sense.
you're
So you
too.
think to yourself, oh, I'm meeting these people and they're doing all this, and I'm just a bit boring. It's like, so
No.
a little bit makes you a bit more reluctant to put yourself out there and
You're just
sneeze,
way too
but.
humble. You're more humble than a lot of us because everyone, well, majority of us on social media, we crave attention. We love to toot our own trumpets because at the end of the day, very few other people will in your life. And that's what social media, especially Instagram, is probably about, is shouting yourself out and trying to get an audience. But you're inspiring people. You said James McQuillan is inspired to go and give it a go because you are the like AB, you're the quintessential everyday runner. You don't mess around. You don't have to do a 16-week training block. Sure, it might be the best thing you can do for your physical progression to build yourself into it, but at the end of the day, we're human beings built to run. We're built to do these things, and you're proven that you don't have to be a super like athlete doing all the ticking all the right boxes, but you're still a super athlete doing amazing things.
So yeah, for me, the hardest bit of the whole thing hasn't been the running the miles. It hasn't been the training, or they're getting up at 4 o'clock to go run so you can get back for the kids. It's mean none of that, because I choose to do that and enjoy it. The hardest bit, genuinely, of it all has been forcing myself to become more social. And I'm so glad I've done it, because if I didn't, like, reach out to Lee when I seen him doing this trail group, I'm not actually sure I would have probably have lasted the pace and continued to do all these kind of runs, because since then I've been at Pentlands with different people. I've been on like the Wild Heart Runs 3, like Reckies or Long Lomond, and this Pentland Skyline one. Like, I've been at Roy, these guys, and I could have easily went and just closed up and just ran it and just didn't speak to a single person. But yeah, I've spoke to other people on these events and it's been great, eh? So to me, that's been the hardest thing, I think, is forcing myself to become social and interact with other, not interact, but like put myself out there,
yeah,
to other people.
It will inevitably, and that's maybe takes us right back to where we began when you said about your promotion and kind of just balancing your day. It will inevitably benefit you in your day as well, as community and having the support there. It gives you that ability to open up to maybe approach your day job in a slightly different way and talk to people that you might otherwise avoided the conversation and just become more generally open, as I say, as a whole.
Days where you are like, oh, I can't be bothered, or so, and you'll put it on and you've got, I don't know, a Kayleigh Webster,
yeah,
happiest woman on the planet, and you're like watching her videos and you get a wee laugh and it cheers you up, and she's like, you know what, you're like, it's no, like, I can't really complain, like, because we spoke about it, probably. You have to be grateful for what you have. And although I talk about being, sometimes I'm a bit stressed at work and stuff, I would never change it, because it's, we are where we are for a reason, eh?
Yeah.
And ultimately just have to be thankful that we can do what we can do, eh? Because there's people who would love to go out and run and do what we do, but they can't, so.
What's that saying? We're here for a good time, not for a long time.
Correct. Keeps telling me I'm going to batter my knees. I'm like, that's absolutely fine. That's fine. What's the point of going in the coffin with 100% amazing body parts? I'd rather you don't get rid of a car when it's in its top peak condition. I mean, I'm happy to get buried with joints and stuff. Not
it's
really
also
working.
Absolute rubbish. So we both know it's, if you're doing it wrong, it's going to knack you. But you've got to do what you love, and if that's what you love, you've got to do it. Spot on. Right, you've spoken about opening up a little bit more on Instagram, and although you're not maybe posting as much as, say, some of your Insta runners counterparts, where can people listening find you if they want to kind of interact with a bit more and actually find out a little bit more about the individual races that you've run, because we have glazed over a lot of it and focused on more specific parts of your running?
Just on Instagram account, which is Jimmy Bunter. If they just search that, you'll find me. And it literally is just a mixed bag of family stuff and running.
Spot on.
Like we've spoke about.
No, that's been, I've absolutely loved that. And as I say, I could easily just chat to you all night, but I am conscious about time and letting you have time with your wife. But also kind of, again, flipping back to a week ago, it is my wife's birthday, and I'm pretty sure I'll be skinned alive. So
you need to get yourself off on your wife's birthday. This is dedication to the pod.
Yeah, well, I am taking, we're taking her away for a few days. So, I mean, that's my saving grace there. But no, thank you very much for coming on, dude. And I'm pretty sure this is going to go down a storm. You're very humble with your story, but I think this is going to be a winner.
Thanks. I've enjoyed it. I was nervous, but generally I've enjoyed just sitting having a chat.
That's all it is. It's a good chat.
It's been good. I've enjoyed it.
Spot on. Well, enjoy the rest of your night, what's left of it, and I look forward to seeing what comes next.
Thank you,
mate. What a great interview. I'm not going to lie, James was very nervous before we hit record, as a number of guests usually are, but he really settled into that quite the thing afterwards saying it was like being down in a pub with a good friend just having a good old natter. I think that's been probably the biggest win of this season so far, is really relaxing with the interviews, making them less formal, more homely, just like you were chatting with a friend, and just showing that by being more relaxed and embracing the community, it opens up great stories, great conversations, and just shares a much better vibe with you guys. Hop on over, give Jimmy a follow. He's one of the community's good guys. As I say, he's never out of the shout outs. He's always there supporting other people. So I would like to give more opportunities to other people to shout people out, but also for those to shout out Jimmy as well. But with that, let's look at wrapping up this week's episode as we look ahead to the season finale next week. Firstly, thank you as always for joining me today and downloading or streaming the podcast. It will forever and always be the best way you can show your support for the show. If you'd like to show your physical support for the podcast, as a number of people are and have been doing of late, we've got Uncle Lee, we've got Bob Burrell, Stevie McKenna, Nikki Sheridan, Stuart Runsalot, that he does, and a few other folks as well, buying t-shirts from our merchandise partners over at Twisted Running. If you want to have a look at what they've got on offer, pop on over to Twisted Running's website, or you can find a link on our website, thepoint99podcast.com. I know I've mentioned it a couple of times this season. There will be more versions coming out of t-shirts of different designs. I've just been chocker with time, with work, with other things, but I will pull my finger out and get some other bits and pieces up very, very soon, hopefully. The show is available on all your major podcast platforms and on our website via the inbuilt player on our episodes page. You can also find us on YouTube Podcasts and YouTube itself. Finally, you can follow us on Instagram by searching The Point 99 Podcast. If you want to get in contact, drop us a DM over there or at my own Instagram account, Mr_Steve_Runs, or you can always email me at thepoint99podcast@gmail.com. As always, I really can't thank you enough for tuning in today. You are helping the podcast grow on a daily basis, and I am forever thankful to anyone who is listening for taking the time to support the show. Until next week's season finale, though, one that sees a super achieving ultra running lass joining us. Stay safe, enjoy your runs, and you'll hear from me soon.